Praise God. Amen. Thank you so much, Jessica, for sharing your gift with our church. Awesome. There was a farmer who was out farming in this field, and while he was plowing the field, he looked up in the sky, and he saw these letters appearing up in the sky, and they seemed to him to form two letters, P and C. And as he meditated on those two letters, he thought, he realized in his heart he felt God was calling him to go and leave farming and to preach Christ. And so he went to his church, he explained to his church, listen, I feel like the Lord has spoken to me while I was out farming that I'm to leave farming and I'm to go and to become a preacher. And they said, well, okay, why don't we give you a trial sermon and we'll meet and convene, and if we sense the Lord's leading on your life, we will convene on you ordination and we'll work through that process. So the time came for him to give his trial sermon, and he got up to preach. And as he opened the word and got through the sermon, it was one of the most awful sermons the church had ever heard in its history. It was a disaster of a sermon. It was not good. It was almost borderline heresy what the poor farmer was going into. And so as they convened over and met after the sermon to figure out if the Lord had called him into ministry, one of the lead deacons went over to the man and said, you know what, we've met, we've prayed, we feel like when you saw what you saw in the sky, God wasn't telling you to preach Christ, he was telling you to plant corn. I don't know if you've ever been there, though, where you've maybe looked for God's will through just signs, random signs, or just, you know, interesting means. I've been there. There were times in my life where I was trying to figure out, God, what do you really want me to do? How can I know your will? And I began to look and scratch and try to find anything at all that would speak to me about the will of God. Today, we're going to look in the Word of God. I'm going to talk to a degree about how to really seek after God's will and how to find it. Because this is something that should be a concern of any child of God. If you're a believer in Jesus, if you know the Lord Jesus, if he's really your Lord and your commander, your master, you're in your heart of hearts, you're going to want to follow him. You're going to want to find his will for you. And so let's open our Bibles. We've been working through phrase by phrase in Matthew. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up now to Matthew chapter 6. We've been working through the Lord's Prayer. And today we reach that part of the prayer, your will be done. Let's do this. In honor of the reading of the Word of God, let's stand together. I'm going to read starting in verse 5, and I'll go down to verse 15. Matthew 6, verse 5. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. And therefore you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. Let me pray for us. Father, I just ask for your blessings now as we have looked into your word, into one of the most familiar passages in all the Bible. I pray that, Father, as we study this, that we would not drone off in our minds and think of other things, but Father, we would see this afresh and anew, and that Holy Spirit, you would work in our hearts. I pray that you would work in us to desire obedience to you greater than we have, and that we would seek your will above all things to glorify you. Lord, bless our time, and may it be fruitful, and may we submit ourselves fully, Lord, under your authority and under the authority of your word. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we've been working through this, there are some implications that I want us to think through. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, and as we pray, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, there are some things that we need to think through. as we really mean this in our prayers. Some of us have used the Lord's Prayer, and we just kind of pray what's there. And I want you to know, again, as we've been studying this, Matthew was very keen under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to use the word like in verse 9. Therefore, you should pray like this. This is a suggested prayer that really should launch into our prayer lives. It should launch us into what to pray and how to pray. And so as I pray for God's will to be done, that launches me into, not only for me, but Lord, I pray your will be done in my church. I pray your will be done in my home. I pray it would be done in my kids' lives, my wife's lives, my buddies. And I pray for many of you by name here at the church. And I'm praying daily, Lord, help them to grow in their knowledge of your will. And so this prayer that Matthew has here in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, it springboards into a deeper, fuller prayer. It's really a suggested prayer to get us into the right way of praying. And one of the things, very simply, if we're really praying, God, give us your will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first point and implication simply is, number one, seek out God's will. That's very simple, just from the text. Seek out his will. Lord, if your will is to be done, help me to know what that is. Help me to seek that out. And boy, when I was in the youth group, I struggled a lot with guilt. I struggled, and I always thought, like, you know, if I'm really going to find the will of God, I'm going to have to memorize the entire New Testament in Greek. I'm going to have to, like, go to Africa. I'm going to have to do all these big things to really find the will of God. And we make that hard. We make that pretty hard. We just think, God, you probably want me to jump through a million hoops to find your will. But you know what God really desires? He desires a sincere heart that will seek after his will. And I remember my youth pastor, I've quoted him a number of times on this point, because I remember I went to him and I was just frustrated. I just said, Calvin Carr, Mr. Carr, he was my youth pastor, I just feel like I'm not going to get it. I feel like for whatever reason, I'm not going to find the will of God. I'm just going to miss out. There's some sin I've not confessed somewhere in the hidden recesses of my mind, and I can't remember to confess that, so God's going to deny me his will. And Calvin looked at me, and he said, what I want to tell to you, he just said, David, God desires to give you his will. It's a strong desire. He said, if he gave you his only son, how will he not also freely with him give you all things? He was quoting Romans 8. And so this is the thing he told me that I just wrote down and kept, and as I pray, this is what I think through. He said, if you're sincerely praying and asking for God to reveal his will to you, and I was, he looked at me and he said, David, a pack of wild horses is not going to be able to drag you away from the center of God's will if you're sincerely asking him for his will. And so we have to ask him. We have to say, God, reveal your will. Show me what you would have me to do. And there are some of you right now, as I am aware of your situations, we've gone through, and a lot of the families in this room, some difficult stuff in the last few weeks. I know there are some of you that are really saying, what does God really want me to do in this situation? I really don't know what God's will is. I know his word speaks clearly on a lot of matters, but on my specifics in my life, I'm not sure what I'm to do. Let me give you a few verses to really look into and to pray through. James 1:5 is one of my favorite ones. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. You know what that means, without reproach? He's not going to make you feel guilty for asking for it. And some of us have in our minds that God's ready to zap us. And friend, I'm telling you, if you understand the cross, he got out his beef towards you on the cross. There is nothing left for you in Christ other than love. It's Romans 8:1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Through what Jesus accomplished by his death and burial and resurrection, if you're in Jesus, you're able to approach the throne boldly for what you need. Sinner that I am and sinner that you are, Christ died for sinners, and he welcomes sinners without reproach. You may be the worst sinner in the room today, and I'm here to encourage you and to say, if you will call out to God for wisdom, he will bless you with wisdom without making you feel guilty about it. He will bless you without any reproach. And he will guide you through whatever your hardship is. He gives generously. It will be given to him. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him. God, I acknowledge you in this situation. What is your wisdom? Guide me. He will make your path straight. You have to seek his will. You have to ask for his will. Oswald Sanders, he wrote My Utmost for His Highest and a bunch of other books. He says this, I try to gather all the information and all the facts that are involved in the decision, and then weigh them up and pray them over in the Lord's presence. And I trust the Holy Spirit to sway my mind in the direction of God's will. And God generally guides by presenting reasons to my mind for acting in a certain way. I think that's helpful. You know, we have seen too many times in church where people will put the fleece out. And I've seen some crazy things over the years. I've done crazy things. I'm not blaming anybody, really. I've done some crazy things where it's like, Lord, if you want me to do this, make it rain today. Or Lord, if you want me to do that, make it rain. I mean, these are silly things. Really, we just need to say, God, show me your will. What would you have me to do in this? And you got to be careful. You don't want to let anyone else dictate for you the will of God. God is able to guide you directly into his will through his word and through prayer and through discernment. You don't ever want anyone else to dictate to you his will. That reminds me in college of the guy that went up to a girl and said, hey, I've been praying and God's will is that you start dating me. And she knew better. She had been praying also. So don't let anyone dictate God's will into you. Are you seeking after his will? Are you seeking it? Is it something that's a part of your prayer life? God, as I've woken up today, show me what you want me to do today. And by the way, I'm willing and ready. I'll go and do whatever you want me to do. You're Lord over my life. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I am obedient to you and whatever your will might be. Are you praying for that? If you're not, add that into your prayers. God, help me to be seeking your will more than I seek it. Because I can tell you, when you are fulfilling the will of God, there is no regret. When you're in the middle of the will of God, there is a joy and a pleasure that can only come from thriving and existing in the middle of God's will that is absent when you're not in his will. There's no greater place that you could be than in the middle of God's will. And that leads us into the second point. If you're filling in your outline, number two, an implication of praying for God's will to be done. Number two, see that his will is best. See that his will really is best. And look at what the Bible says there in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. What is good? You might want to circle that word good. And acceptable and perfect. And you have 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And this is what we have. His will is good and acceptable. If we were to pass out sheets of paper in this room and say, everybody, write on the sheet of paper what you would love to see happen in your life. Whatever you want to fulfill, whatever you want to get through, your own will for your life, write it out. And if I could miraculously just have the Lord bless us today by sending from heaven a sheet for each one of us, straight from heaven, and if that were to fall down right next to whatever you had written, I'm not going to say that it's going to be the easy and maybe the happiest road, but I will say it's the best road. It'll be the best road. There are people that are so fearful that if I surrender myself to God's will, he's going to call me to Africa. There are worse things than that. There are worse. God's will is good. It is acceptable. It is desirous. It is something that if you miss out on, if you are neglecting of his will, there is regret and there are scars that come. And so whatever the Lord's will is for you, I am telling you it is the best thing for you. And you have to, by faith, trust that and seek that, whatever it may mean. Now, I remember being in high school and there was a part of me that thought, you know, my buddy, Mike, I was talking to him about it, and I said, you know, sometimes I feel like Christians miss out on all the fun. You know, sometimes our parties aren't really the coolest thing. You know, they are a little nerdy sometimes, and as I go to them and hang out, and as I go to band and I hang out with all of my lost buddies, and they all tell me about their parties over the weekend, I think, man, maybe I'm missing out. Following this Jesus stuff, you know, I feel like I'm maybe missing out on the real fun. Well, my buddy Mike, he was brand new in Christ. He had been a Christian for about a year. And I remember he grabbed me, looked me square in the eye, and said, David, never think such a thing, ever. I'll never forget what he told me. He had just become a Christian in high school, and he said this. He said, David, I've been to those parties. I've been to everything on the other side of the tracks that there is, and none of it holds a candle or compares to the joy I have in Jesus. Never for a second believe you're missing out on what's happening in this world. If anything, David, hear me, they're the ones missing out, and they need what we have. Boy, he gave me a perspective on it. And that's a perspective, students, you've got to grow and see that with Christ there is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is overflowing, abundant joy. His goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life in a relationship with Christ. You will not lack for any good thing, Psalm 34. Those who seek God lack nothing good. He provides an over and abundance for those who seek him diligently and listen. Your cup overflows. It overflows. I'll ask people, well, how are you doing? And they'll say, well, I'm better than I deserve. My cup's overflowing right now. God is just pouring out such blessings on my life. I can't count them all. They're innumerable. God has been so gracious to me. Can I tell you, as a pastor, I counsel people every week that come into our building and they're far from God and there's regret written on their faces. There's brokenness written on their faces. I've never had anyone walk into my office or into this church and say, you know, I made a commitment years ago to follow Jesus and I regret doing that. I regret that. As a matter of fact, what I hear month after month, I'm hearing people saying, I wish I'd given my heart to Christ when I was young. I wish I'd given my heart to Christ when I had that opportunity years ago to do so. I have so many regrets and scars on my life, and I want to get those fixed with him, and he's doing that. But boy, I wish I had done that years ago. Friends, there is no regret. It is a good thing. How many of you have ever watched the show Let's Make a Deal? You ever watched that show? I used to love watching that show. I love what the people wear in the audience. I mean, I just love the craziness of that show. That's the one where they have like the three doors. And I remember I was watching it recently. It was on TV, and there was a guy who had a briefcase of $10,000. And I'm watched the show. I've seen it over the years. I'm like, man, you don't want to trade that. On that show, that's a big deal. That's bigger than probably the new car behind door number two or whatever. And they said, look, we're going to let you have this briefcase, or we're going to let you have what's behind door number two, okay? You can trade it. I mean, we've given you a nice briefcase. It's got some cash in it, or you can take what's behind door number two. And the guy said, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm going to take what's behind door number two. They opened up door number two, and it was a goat tied to a fence. He had traded his cash for a goat tied to a fence. And as silly as that is, whenever you and I neglect the will of God, we're trading a briefcase full of blessing, really, for a goat tied to a fence. We're trading something awesome and precious. In Jesus, we have that pearl of great price, for which once we know Christ, we're ready to give up everything in this world and just latch onto him, because he is worthy of that. Amen? We're ready to give it all up and follow him, and whenever we neglect his will, we're trading Christ for trash. We're trading Christ for trash. Don't do it. Seek his goodwill. It is good. It is worth your energy to seek after it. And are you seeking, are you fulfilling God's will for your life, or have you traded the will of God for something far less important? The third thing, and this is where the verse leads to, straight out of the verse, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what does that phrase mean, on earth as it is in heaven? Here's what that means. In heaven, the will of God is obeyed without any delay. God has at his arsenal these angels that the very second God commands them and says, go and do this, go and protect my servant, those angels, they go instantly. They obey without any delay whatsoever. We're not that way. My obedience to God reminds me of the car I drove in seminary. I had a Pontiac Sunfire, and that thing, whenever I drove that Sunfire and I had to like speed up, you know, I would slam on the accelerator and the car would go, really? You know? And it would hesitate for like 5 seconds, and then it would finally, you know, start chugging up. And I'm like, all right, all two cylinders are clicking now, baby. I'm gonna get it. Now, we had a situation happen in seminary where my wife's car, she had a Dodge Spirit, that died. And we had to take her dad, loaned us his 69 Camaro. It was refinished, and it was beautiful. Cherry red, 69, 327 horsepower engine in this car. Great engine for that year, for that car. I remember one day, she's like, Dave, why don't you take the Camaro to seminary, okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. No complaints. But I remember I got that thing out on the interstate, and I thought, I'm just going to push on this accelerator and see what happens. That thing gave everything I gave it. I mean, I about got whiplash, right, when I pushed on the accelerator. My head went back so fast, I about got whiplash. It was great. I was never late to class whenever I drove that car. And I could sleep 10 minutes later. It was a beautiful car. How are you, when the Lord is speaking your life and saying, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, are you like the Sunfire or are you like the Camaro? Are you like, bring it on, I'm ready, I'm willing, yes, let's go, God, let's go for it. Are you hesitant? Or do you ignore his will? There are some of you right now, you know what his will is, and you've been ignoring it. To your own peril, you've been ignoring it, and to the peril of others. When you and I disregard the will of God, it not only harms us, it harms others. But friend, when we, again, are in on it and we're following that, we're being obedient to the Lord, it's a blessing to ourselves, it's a blessing to others. If you really love the Lord, and I would say, as Christ said, if you will love your neighbor as yourself, if you love and desire joy and just want to grow in your walk, seek the will of God and submit wholly to it, whatever it may be. There are four wills that struggle right now for your obedience. There's, number one, your own will, man's own will. You've got your own desires of what you want to do with your day. And man, I could fill my day with complete nonsense if I just wanted to. I could do that. And you have just desires that really will amount to nothing. I think every boy that grew up in my generation desires to like own a Nintendo and work through every game he never got to as a kid. And that is the most worthless pursuit I could ever have. You have other men's wills. You have other people in your life that desire for you certain things that really aren't God's will. And you have to be discerning to know how to say no to certain things. The devil has a will for you. The thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his will for you. But Christ came, John 10:10, that you might have life and might have it abundantly. It might be full to overflowing. That's what Christ says in John 10, verse 10. And that leads us to God's will. These are the four wills that struggle for our obedience. And as you are working through those struggles, I am praying for myself and for you that you will submit wholly, wholeheartedly to the will of God. In heaven, again, the angels constantly obey God without any disobedience. In Psalm 103, 19 through 21, we read of how the angels always do the will of God. This prayer implies that we want to obey God's will just as the angels in heaven obey his will. Let me just read that verse. The Lord has established his throne. I'm reading Psalm 103, 19. The Lord has established his throne in all the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. And so let's say, Lord, may my heart be as obedient to you right here on earth as the angels in heaven are. And may it be. Let me give a few closing principles. Whenever you talk about the will of God, there are a lot of misconceptions, a lot of different ideas. I want to give you a few tips that if you're really struggling through this, you may want to write some of these down. This is what has helped me in those moments of my life where I've really struggled to know practically, God, what do I do right now with this question? For example, let me just give you an example. Years ago, I was praying whether or not I was to marry a certain person. And everything seemed good. It was a Christian relationship. Everything seemed God-honoring, but I didn't know if it was really the Lord's will to marry this individual. God's word says a lot about a lot of things, but it didn't tell me specifically what to do with that situation. And so I began to pray, God, show me your will in this situation. So let me share with you a few principles you really want to work on daily to make sure you're seeking and finding the Lord's will. Number one, simple. Focus on what you do know from the word of God, and God will reveal to you what you need to know. Focus on what you already do know from the Word of God. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly what is His will. It's His will that we be thankful. It's His will that we seek sanctification and growing in Christ. And as long as we are focusing and walking in communion with God, focusing on what His Word already commands, it's like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. When you're doing what you do know from His commanded Word, He will reveal to you in some way what you need to know. Second thing, trust that God will guide you through times of uncertainty. And then if you're really in a need to know on a deep decision, stall until you have God's guidance on it. If you're able to stall. Stall until you have God's guidance and pray diligently, God, speak to me. You may want to write this down. This is something I've prayed with my heart, and God's always answered this prayer. He'll answer it for you as well. As you pray, ask God to specifically do this, to guide you in a way where you will have no doubts about what you must do. And I pray that all the time. God, I want to know your will in this. I want you to guide me in a way where I will have no doubts about what I must do. Help me, Lord, to know without any doubts what your will is. Can I tell you again, God delights to give his will to his children. He delights. He will find a way to speak to you in a way where you will know. And if there is still no guidance, this is what I had to do when I was unsure, should I marry this person, should I not? I didn't know. I was in that cloud of emotion. Sometimes you date someone and you're just not sure what to think or what's going on. And I just couldn't see clearly. I couldn't see the Lord's will clearly. Two things I did. Ask others to pray for you. Let others in on this. Talk to your pastor. Talk to people you trust in the faith and say, pray for me. I've got a major decision. I need clarity. And if you have a very special friend, I had a friend that did this. It's my friend Mike that I was talking about earlier that said, don't worry about whatever's on the other side of the train tracks. What you have in Jesus is awesome. when I had that prayer need in my life and I said, Mike, I need you to pray for me. I don't know if this is the right will of God for me. This is what he said. He said, David, why don't you and I take Friday night and let's just go and pray together. And let's just pray for God to make his will clear. And then he gave me a piece of advice that I'm going to give you. He said, David, why don't you go without food on Friday and where you would be eating, why don't you pray and fast? And as you're fasting, where you would be eating, not everyone can do this based on diet and based on health, but I was able to do it. He says, when you should be eating, get on your knees and say, God, speak, God, speak. We went out, we prayed. We prayed for a few hours. Mike said, man, I'm done. I'm going to leave you here. You pray now. This is your deal. You know, God will speak to you. And I remember I went home and I was a little frustrated because I didn't receive this grand answer from the sky at all. I wanted an answer. And I went home without the answer. And I went to bed and I just said, God, I just trust you. You're going to find a way to let me know one way or another what I must do. Should I marry this person? Should I not? Can I tell you that his answer came very clearly in the morning? When I woke up that next morning, I had such an awareness, such a clear, fresh, just voice from God on what I should do. Without a doubt, it was like I have to do this or I'm in trouble. I called off the wedding, called off the engagement. And it was definitely God's will. We were able to pray for the next few weeks. We sought counsel together. And we realized as we went through counsel and sought the wisdom of others that we were making a decision that was well in line with the will of God. God revealed his will, though. He revealed his will, and friend, he wants to reveal his will to you. If you will seek and ask, I think of the words of Christ again, some of you have not because you have asked not. Listen, if you'll get into his presence, I believe it's in James, draw close unto God, he will draw close unto you. He will show you the right paths you should go through his word and through his spirit that indwells you. God will guide you. And let me just pray, let me just share this. On autumn nights, as we sleep peacefully in our beds here in Florida, millions of songbirds are quietly traveling as we head into the winter under the cover of darkness. They're all heading south for warmer climates. The Baltimore Orioles, not the baseball team, but the actual bird, what they love to do is they will fly every winter. They will close up their homes, they'll leave the key under their mats, and they'll fly like senior citizens. They'll head south, right? And it's the weather patterns that tell these birds that it's time to move. As the cold fronts move across eastern North America, they're sending waves of orioles along with the warblers and all the other songbirds on their way down to the wintering grounds in Mexico and Latin America. And as the cold fronts pass by, clear skies and north winds usually follow. These conditions are ideal for migration. They allow the birds to travel without any risk of storm. With the winter coming and the wind at their backs, they have a clear view of the stars to help them navigate and find their way. They fly over thousands of houses and highways, shopping centers, parking lots. They pass state after state. If one particular oriole opts for a direct flight home, it will fly over the Gulf of Mexico in a single night, crossing 600 miles of open water. The entire trip from Baltimore to Mexico takes about 2 weeks, but the oriole knows exactly where it's going. And God has planted within its very little brain a very perfect guidance system that tells that bird exactly where it needs to go. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that God cares for us more than the birds. And if God can guide these birds on their migratory systems and routes, God can guide his children firmly into his will. Whatever it may mean for you, friend, God desires to give his will to you. Are you asking for it? And if not, join me as I pray and say, God, give us your will. Let me pray for us and we'll go into a time of invitation. Father, I'm thankful that you delight in giving your children your will. You do not want us to jump through 100 hoops. You have proven your love for us through sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross in our place for our sins. You've shown us your love. You've lavished it on us. And Lord, you desire greatly for your children to walk in obedience. I pray you would pour out such a blessing on this room and on these people here that, God, they would desire your will and they would receive your will. And that, Father, we would burn with obedience in our hearts. Lord, guide us. We do seek it. Whatever you want us to do, we're willing and ready. You're our Lord. Whatever you want us to say, we'll say it. Whatever you want us to do, we're ready to do it, God. We want your will. And I pray for South Orlando Baptist Church that we would be a church that does the will of God, that we would not seek after man's kingdom. Father, we would not seek to build our own empires. We would seek your kingdom, that it would come into our church, into the neighborhoods that surround us, and that, Father, we would glorify you and radiate your glory to the neighborhoods that surround this church and to the nations that are coming into Orlando. Father, your will be done. May we be just as obedient to you as your angels are.
And may we not hesitate, Father. Bless us in our need for obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.